Dirty Little Secret Number 1. The Numbers Gap. In the Cold War, one of the deepest causes of American worries was the so-called missile gap between us and the Soviet Union. The perfect storm Shirley Ann Jackson is warning about could best be described as the confluence of three new gaps that have been slowly emerging to sap America's prowess in science, math, and engineering. They are the numbers gap, the ambition gap, and the education gap. Dirty Little Secret Number 1 is that the generation of scientists and engineers who were motivated to go into science by the threat of Sputnik in 1957 and the inspiration of JFK are reaching their retirement years and are not being replaced in the numbers that they must be if an advanced economy like that of the United States is to remain at the head of the pack. According to the National Science Foundation, half of America's scientists and engineers are 40 years or older, and the average age is steadily rising. Every 2 years, the National Science Board supervises the collection of a very broad set of data trends in science and technology in the United States, which it publishes as Science and Engineering Indicators. In preparing Indicators 2004, the NSB said, "We have observed a troubling decline in the number of U.S. citizens who are training to become scientists and engineers, whereas the number of jobs requiring science and engineering, S&E, training continues to grow. These trends threaten the economic welfare and security of our country," it said, adding that if the trends identified in Indicators 2004 continue undeterred, three things will happen. The number of jobs in the U.S. economy that require science and engineering training will grow. The number of U.S. citizens prepared for those jobs will, at best, be level. And the availability of people from other countries who have science and engineering training will decline, either because of limits to entry imposed by U.S. national security restrictions or because of intense global competition for people with these skills. The NSB report found that the number of American 18 to 24-year-olds who receive science degrees has fallen to 17th in the world, whereas we ranked third 3 decades ago. It said that of the 2.8 million first university degrees, what we call bachelor's degrees, in science and engineering granted worldwide in 2003, 1.2 million were earned by Asian students in Asian universities. 830,000 were granted in Europe, and 400,000 in the United States. In engineering specifically, universities in Asian countries now produce 8 times as many bachelor's degrees as the United States. These shortages could not be happening at a worse time, just when the world is going flat. The number of jobs requiring science and engineering skills in the U.S. labor force, the NSB said, is growing almost 5% per year. In comparison, the rest of the labor force is growing at just over 1%. Before September 11, 2001, the Bureau of Labor Statistics, BLS, projected that science and engineering occupations would increase at 3 times the rate of all occupations. Unfortunately, the NSB reported, the average age of the science and engineering workforce is rising. Many of those who entered the expanding S&E workforce in the 1960s and 1970s, the baby boom generation, are expected to retire in the next 20 years, and their children are not choosing science and engineering careers in the same numbers as their parents, the NSB report said. The percentage of women, for example, choosing math and computer science careers fell 4 percentage points between 1993 and 1999. The 2002 NSB indicators showed that the number of science and engineering PhDs awarded in the United States dropped from 29,000 in 1998 to 27,000 in 1999. The total number of engineering undergraduates in America fell about 12% between the mid-1980s and 1998. Nevertheless, America's science and engineering labor force grew at a rate well above that of America's production of science and engineering degrees because a large number of foreign-born S&E graduates migrated to the United States. By attracting scientists and engineers born and trained in other countries, we have maintained the growth of the S&E labor force without a commensurate increase in support for the long-term costs of training and attracting native U.S. citizens to these fields, the NSB said. But now, the simultaneous flattening and wiring of the world have made it much easier for foreigners to innovate without having to emigrate. They can now do world-class work for world-class companies at very decent wages without ever having to leave home. In addition, visas for students and S&E workers have been issued more slowly since the events of September 11th, owing to both increased security restrictions and a drop in applications. The U.S. State Department issued 20% fewer visas for foreign students in 2001 than in 2000. And the rate fell farther in subsequent years. While university presidents told me in 2004 that the situation was getting better and that the Department of Homeland Security was trying to both speed up and simplify its visa procedures for foreign students and scientists, a lot of damage has been done, and the situation for foreign students or scientists wanting to work in any areas deemed to have national security implications is becoming a real problem. No wonder New York Times education writer Sam Dillon reported on December 21, 2004, that foreign applications to American graduate schools declined 28% this year. Actual foreign graduate student enrollments dropped 6%. Enrollments of all foreign students in undergraduate, graduate, and postdoctoral programs fell for the first time in 3 decades in an annual census released this fall. Meanwhile, university enrollments have been surging in England, Germany, and other countries. Chinese applications to American graduate schools fell 45% this year, while several European countries announced surges in Chinese enrollment.